Shalom to all. Today we're going to learn Maseches Gittin, Perakei, Mishnah Gimel, Mishnah Dalet. And today's Mishnahs are being learned B'schos Esther Bas Rachel, Shishi B'zecher Efrayim, Rezivik Hagun, Bikar of Mamish. And we continue with more cases of Tikkun Olam. And before we begin, imagine the following. Reuven steals a field from Shimon, which basically means that he kicks Shimon out of his own field. Then he has the temerity to sell this field to Levi. And Levi has no idea that it's not Reuven's field, and he plows and plants and takes care of it. And then one day he gets a knock on the door. Shimon's there with some police and a paper from Beis Din that says this field is his and Levi has to vacate the premises. And now a few things need to happen. Firstly, Shimon has to pay Levi for any expenses he incurred taking care of the field. Then he gets his field back. And then Reuven has to reimburse Levi for two separate things. The field itself that was taken away, and the amount that Levi improved the field, and all the pay rights that were taken away by Shimon. So now knowing that, the Mishnah says, Ein moitzin l'achilas peres l'shel charkois, when Levi's getting reimbursed by Reuven, and he's taking away some property from Reuven, he's not to be moitzi for these two things that were taken away from him, the fruit or the improvement of the land. Now we move on to a totally different case, if we're taking property away from a husband in order to feed his wife and daughters, none of these are allowed to be collected from Nechasim Meshubadim, which is properties that Reuven or the husband had sold after he had this chiyuv, mipnei tikkun olam, because of tikkun olam. As we explained in previous Mishnayos, let's say Reuven borrowed money from Shimon on Sunday, and then he sold one of his properties to somebody else on Monday, that's called Nechasim Meshubadim, and technically Shimon would be allowed to take that property away from the lekach, the guy who bought it, as collection for his loan. And over here the Mishnah is telling us that when Levi's getting reimbursed by Reuven because the property that was taken away from him by Shimon, when it comes to getting reimbursed for the fruit that was taken away and the value of the shevach, of the improvement of the property, that's allowed to be collected from Nechasim Meshubadim. And the same thing when we're taking property away for food for the daughter or wife. And that's because if this was allowed, people would be hesitant to buy property from others because it might get taken away from them. And lastly, the Mishnah says, if somebody finds a mitziah, finds a lost object and it returns it to the owner, and the owner wants him to swear because he claims that he didn't return the full object, Reuven finds Shimon's wallet and returns it. Shimon opens it up and says, what, there's only $50 in here? There was $100 in the wallet. I want you to swear that you're returning everything to me. So really, this is technically called Maidim Mektis HaTayna, when Reuven says there was only 50 in it. And in a different case, he would technically have to swear, but since we're talking about a lost object, the Chum were talking that he does not have to make this Shavua, because then people are just not going to return lost objects if they know they would have to make a Shavua. Moving on to Mishnah Dalet, Mishnah tells us, Yusayim Shesamcho Itzel Baal Bayis. These are young orphans below Bar Mitzvah who rely on a Baal Bayis. They rely on a certain homeowner and he takes care of them, or their father officially pointed this guy as an apotropos, as the manager or the guardian of these yusaimim, this fellow has to take meiser off of the produce that he gives them because he's the one that's in charge of them. Now we continue talking about this apotropos fellow, and it's interesting to note that apotropos is a conjugation of two old Roman words. Pater means father, and potus means little kids, which basically means that this fellow is the father or the guardian of these little yusaimilach. And so Mishnah tells us, apotropos shemino avi yusaimim yishava, mino bezdin, if this apotropos was appointed by the father of the kids, so then he has to swear to them once he's not going to be doing his job anymore because they're above bar mitzvah, and the shvua is that he didn't steal anything from them while he was taking care of them. But if Beis Din appointed him, he does not have to make this shvua. And that's because when he was appointed by the father, he most probably agreed to be this apotropos because he owed the father a favor. And therefore, even if we're making him take a shvua afterwards, that wouldn't prevent him from being an apotropos. However, when Beis Din appoints him, he does it completely for free and he's not gaining anything out of it. Therefore, if we make him take a shvua at the end, he's not going to want to be the apotropos. So we say when Beis Din appoints him, no shvua necessary. Whereas Avishal Eimer, Chilav Advarim, Avishal says exact opposite. That when Beis Din appoints him, he does have to make a shvua, and when the father appoints him, he does not have to make a shvua. And that's because when Beis Din appoints somebody, that gives him a really good name, that he's a trustworthy fellow, and therefore it's worthwhile for him, even if he has to swear. But when doing so for the father, he's just doing it as a favor, and he wouldn't do it if he has to swear. The Mishnah continues, Hamatame, if a person makes his friend's food, or if he mixes truma into it, and now the entire thing is considered truma, and it has to be sold to a kayin for a cheaper price, because truma is not as expensive as chulin is, or if he mixes non-kosher wine into his friend's kosher wine, and all these cases, obviously he's ruining his friend's food, and he's causing a loss for him, if he did so by accident, putter, he doesn't have to pay, but if he did so on purpose, chayiv, he does have to pay. And this is also b'nei tikkun olam, because really, this is considered hazik she'enei nikar, damage that is not recognizable. When you look at this food, you can't tell that it's Tameh or Truma or that it has non-kosher wine mixed into it. And we know that Hezek She'enu Nikar, Lav Shmeh Hezek, this is not considered real damages that you would have to pay for. However, the Chachamim realized that if a person doesn't have to pay for this and he wants to get at his friend, well, he'll just be Metameh his stuff or mix Truma into it or mix non-kosher wine into it and he's going to get off scot-free. Therefore, the Chachamim said, if you do B'mezid, you have to pay. And something very similar, the Mishnah concludes, HaKayhanim Shepeglu Mikdash Mizidin Chayavin. If a Kayin made a carbon pigle in the base of Mikdash and he did so on purpose, he's chayav to pay. What's piggle? So this is when a kohen was doing avodah of a karban, and he had a thought that he's going to either eat the meat or be makav of the karban past the time he's allowed to, and that automatically passels it. Now again, this is considered hezek she'enu nikar. It's not recognizable if the karban's passel, and really me'ikar adin, the kohen should not be chayev to pay. It's just that if he does it b'mezid, he is chayev. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Hay and Vav. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.